This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
It is 7:44. Just before I chat to Anthony, Louis Karpus wanted to know which company has produced the official World Cup stickers since 1970. I see that Karen with the Y says a Panini, Gull says a Panini, and in fact that is the correct answer. It is the Italian company Panini has produced the official FIFA World Cup sticker since 1970s. Since the tournament in Mexico for 5 decades. They've been the exclusive partner for these collectible items. It is 7:45. Anthony Reich, good morning. I hope that you are well.
Okay, Tov. We have about 4 months to go until a general election in Israel. And we're a little confused in terms of what we're focusing on right now, because clearly we still have a war going on. We've got issues with regard to Iran and the US agreement with Iran. But in the background, there is a great deal of electioneering going on, a lot of campaigning going on to try and convince voters one way or the other. And I thought it would be a good moment just to do a very, very brief summary of where we currently stand in the polls, in the opinion polls with regard to what would happen if the election was today. So the first thing which is worth noting is that the Likud will still be the largest parliament in the Knesset if the election happened today. The Likud would win 24 seats. The number of their seats sort of has varied up and down from week to week. Currently, it's a little down at 24. Last week, the claim was 25, but they will still be the largest party in the Knesset. Not a great deal larger than the Yashar Party. The Yashar Party is headed by Gadi Eisenkot. And according to the current opinion polls, Yashar would win 21 seats, which is a little up from last time. And again, depending on the day and the weekend events in the international diplomacy arena, the parties vary in terms of the number of seats that the opinion polls are showing them. It's interesting that Gadi Eisenkot is ahead of the Biyachad party. Biyachad is Naftali Bennett and Yair Lapid together. And they are predicted to win around 17 seats. So Gadi Eisenkot seems to have a much larger following than Lapid and Bennett put together. Here, I think, however, is the main kind of point which we need to give consideration to. The Arab parties altogether are predicted to win 11 seats, which is a little less than their overall representation in the general community. They represent around 20%, and on that basis, we would expect them to win around 20, 25 seats, maybe even in the Knesset. Currently, Arab parties are predicted to win 11 seats, and then let's not forget that within those Arab parties are some anti-Zionist Arab parties, some Arab parties which are completely against the idea of a Jewish state here and are militating against that from within the Knesset. That's what our democracy allows them to do. The issue is that it seems as if those Arab parties will ultimately hold the balance of power, because when we construct the two blocks, the current ruling coalition bloc and the opposition bloc that is likely to be constructed with Eisenkot and Bennett and Lapid and a few others together, then neither bloc manages to reach the magical 61 seats required to control the 120-seat Knesset. currently, if we construct the coalition together, then they are likely to win 52 seats. That would include the ultra-Orthodox parties and those parties that are currently part of the ruling coalition. And when we construct the opposition bloc, then the opposition parties out without the Arab seats get to 57. So there is a possibility that Gadi Eisenkot or Bennett may have to somehow put together a minority coalition and expect support or negotiate support from the Arab parties from potentially outside the coalition, or maybe even consider bringing one of the Arab parties into the coalition in order to get past the 61 seats. That's the current state of play. Anything could change between now and October, but that's where we currently stand.
Very interesting. As you say, anything can change, but that's where it is right now. Let's talk about the delegations from Israel and Lebanon. Apparently, will meet in Washington later today for another round of talks. And I find that fascinating that this is happening completely separately to the Iranian talks.
And almost in isolation, because you could argue that many of the things, many of the discussions that are going on between the US and Iran are kind of militate against Israel and Lebanon coming together. But I think that we need to understand that there is Lebanon and there is Hezbollah. And what's very interesting about the talks that are set to take place later today in Washington, and by the way, these talks are scheduled to take place over the next 3 days. So it's not just a brief coming together, shaking of hands, to do some cursory, polite greetings. This is kind of a working meeting, which will last over 3 days and which will follow two separate tracks, which have already been identified, and there are leaders to each of those tracks, both from Lebanon and from Israel, in order to somehow find a solution that can bring peace between Israel and Lebanon. And the main topic of discussion on the agenda is Hezbollah, because Hezbollah is the only obstacle to peace between Israel and Lebanon. And by Hezbollah, of course, by extension, we refer to Iran as well. So, it seems on the face of things a little crazy that Israel and Lebanon are talking about peace when all of that's going on between Iran and the United States. But when you separate out the players in the field and you look at the Lebanese government and many of the Lebanese civilians, many of the citizens of Lebanon, then they are overly enthusiastic about the prospect of peace with Israel. That's not the issue. The main issue on the agenda is how do we face up to Hezbollah and potentially disarm Hezbollah and by extension get rid of Iran's influence from within Lebanon. Now, the two separate tracks that have been set up, one is a track of military issues, and that track on Israel's part is being led by Brigadier General Amichai Levin. He is the head of the IDF's Planning Directorate's Strategic Division. So a senior serving officer in the IDF with the rank of Brigadier General and who has a very, very significant role in strategy and planning, he's the guy in Washington today to lead Israel's military track delegation. The track that will focus on political and diplomatic aspects of the negotiation is being led by Yechiel Leiter. He is Israel's ambassador to the United States. And equally, the Lebanese delegation is being headed, their two tracks, one by Lebanon's ambassador to the United States, who will front up to Yechiel, and also a former Lebanese ambassador to Washington will lead the other track on behalf of the Lebanese government. And here is the really, really interesting aspect of the whole military proposal between Israel and Lebanon right now. There is a proposed pilot program which will see the Lebanese army deployed into southern Lebanon with Israel's full cooperation and support in order to take control of key areas within southern Lebanon. That means that Israel will effectively withdraw from those areas, and it will allow the Lebanese army to fill the vacuum. And that would hopefully mean that Hezbollah will not regain control over those areas. They will not be there to fill the area that Israel vacates. What is the discussion? What is the dispute? The dispute is over what the pilot program will actually involve. The Lebanese army is asking for the first areas where they are deployed to be areas that are currently under Israel's control. So the Lebanese army is saying, please let us start the pilot program coming into areas where the IDF is currently operating. That's where we feel safest and most secure to come in and take control of areas under the IDF supervision and support, rather than going into areas which are currently under Hezbollah control and expecting the Lebanese army to go in there and, even with Israel's support and full cooperation, take over areas that are currently inhabited by Hezbollah. So it's a very fascinating and counterintuitive situation that we find ourselves in with the Lebanese. 3 days of discussions which are due to start today. I find this to be very encouraging, because not only is it the fact that we really have a meeting of minds in Washington about how we can jointly cooperate to get rid of that obstacle to peace, but the Lebanese government currently obviously feels that now is a good time to strike in order to get rid of Hezbollah, that they've been weakened to such a degree that the timing is now right to really go in and do what I think the Lebanese government and the Lebanese army have been wanting to do for many years and potentially even decades, but they just haven't had the wherewithal and the tools and the moment to go in and express their control over this area and to really take over from Hezbollah. Apparently, now is a good time to start the pilot, and let's hope that that pilot will be so convincing and so successful that it will translate into the rest of southern Lebanon. So I find this to be incredibly encouraging, and I really hope that somehow we will see results from this process.
Yeah, let's hope you're right. The latest disagreement between the U.S. and Iran centers on whether the IAEA will be involved in policing Iran's nuclear program or not. Why is this important?
Well, the whole discussion around the nuclear program in Iran seems to be on kind of different planes, because on the one hand, President Trump says no nukes and we won't tolerate any nuclear program and we will get rid of the nuclear dust, whether it be on Iranian soil or not on Iranian soil. We will take care of that. No nukes. Mm. The Iranians are saying that our nuclear program is not a topic for discussion. This is not up for discussion. And interestingly, whereas Iran has previously claimed, and certainly in the period of the JCPOA, when that previous agreement was signed with Iran and under the Obama regime, they claimed that their nuclear program was all about civilian usage, civilian requirement, rather than the building of nuclear weapons. Now I don't see any of those claims. I don't see Iran saying, oh, you shouldn't touch our nuclear program. Why? Because it's not a military program. This is all about civilian use of. No, they're not saying that anymore. They're just saying hands off our nuclear program. And then J.D. Vance comes out making quite an extensive statement about how the International Atomic Energy Agency, it has agreed that we've made progress on this fact, that Iran has agreed to inspections of its nuclear materials by the International Atomic Energy Agency, and we've set up this mechanism to allow us to do this. The Iranians have said it wasn't even discussed. It wasn't even discussed in Switzerland. So not only have the Iranians not agreed to it, not only has no mechanism been set up, but the topic wasn't even raised in the discussions between Iran and the United States. Now, who we can believe on this, I really don't know, because the Iranians certainly haven't shown themselves to be reliable in terms of giving out accurate information. I just wonder whether J.D. Vance might also be kind of talking up the situation a little bit. But even if, even if what J.D. Vance is saying is all accurate and correct, that the Iranians have agreed to this, it doesn't give me any sense of comfort whatsoever. Let's not forget that under the previous Iran agreement, there was a whole mechanism set up for control and for supervision by the International Atomic Energy Agency. And what we discovered through that process was a few things. First of all, that the Iranians didn't disclose all of their sites to the International Atomic Energy Agency from the beginning. So they already transgressed the agreement by not disclosing the full extent of their nuclear program. And then cameras were set up and inspections were arranged, which were not adhered to. And the Iranians used every possible pretext to claim why they were not adhering to the program. The cameras were destroyed by the Iranians, that the IAEA, who were supposed to be monitoring things that were happening there through these cameras, were unable to do that. And then inspection visits were called off at the last minute because somebody sneezed somewhere and somebody said a word out of place. And that was all full justification as to why the Iranians were not going to adhere to their commitments and to their obligations under the agreement vis-a-vis the inspections and the control by the Atomic Energy Agency. So I take absolutely no comfort from J.D. Vance's words, even if all of them are correct, and I doubt that they are correct. But even if they're all correct, the whole idea of agreeing to this being supervised by the International Atomic Energy Agency is just a farce. And that really is not enough for me to feel that the nuclear issue has been properly taken care of.
That's where we leave it. Give me your thoughts. 0618951019. That's Anthony Reich with the Israel Report. We'll catch Anthony tomorrow morning, 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.